Let us go back to the book of Deuteronomy. It's chapter what and verse what?
Chapter 8, verse 18.
Yes, we can stand for the reading of the word.
Deuteronomy 8, verse 18. But thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is he that giveth thee power to get wealth, that ye may establish his covenant, which ye swear unto thy fathers, as it is this day.
All right, you may be seated. We are going to have a few more scriptures very soon, just to support the idea that the power to get wealth comes from God. Yes, so today I've got some few things that I would like to share with you. And it's in connection to the same subject. How many of you were here on Friday? Quite a lot. Did you pray?
Yes.
How did you pray? How did you pray? I know you prayed a lot, but I'm saying, how did you pray?
We prayed like champions, Father.
How? How do champions pray?
Thank you, men of God. We were praying like champions, and we were also demanding the anointing.
How do you... All right, so let me teach you something on that. Okay. Especially in the case where you feel you don't have something, and we have had this idea, I think, ever since Christianity was founded, that what you don't have, you ask for. So I've something that I've realized in my journey of helping God's people, setting people free from different forms of possessions, demonic manipulations, demonic influences. I have things that I've discovered, things which, if I'm to discuss some of those things with you here, you will find a lot of help. A lot of help. Why is it that getting things right is a difficult thing? And getting things wrong is easy. Having something, anything good. It's really tough. But probably losing what you'd have gotten is very, very easy. Many people can, it's easy for people to know that there is an evil spirit working against me somewhere. It's easy for most people to know there is a demon somewhere. Yet it is not easy for most of the people that I know to know how they contacted those demons. It's easy for a person to know that I have a demon that is giving me problems, yet it is not easy to know how you got it. So the teaching today is going to try and address that so that we know you need to know how you came into contact with an evil spirit which might be causing things to be difficult in your life, how you came into contact with that evil spirit, how you came into contact with that evil spirit. And there is need for us to study that. If I were to give it a title, though it doesn't rhyme well, especially with what we have come to know now, but this is how Christians contact demons. There is a way that Christians summons demons. Christians, a lot of them, they are dealing with cases today, situations today that they invited. And when such a situation finally arrives, per invitation, having been invited, Christians, they wonder, where are all these things coming from? Because when they sent out invitations, they didn't know certain names of demons that they used. They didn't know what they said. They can't even remember what they were saying as they were praying. Is it possible that you can be inviting God and then the devil comes? Is it possible that you can be calling for Jesus and a guy who is not Jesus comes? When you are praying, especially when it comes to this power that we're talking about, this power to get to earth covers a lot of things in your life. But let's look at the book of James also. James chapter 5, verse number 15. James 5, 15. James 5, 15. We know the scripture already, but let's just look at it.
And the prayer of faith.
And the prayer of faith.
Shall save the sick.
The sick, yes.
And the Lord shall raise him up. And if he have committed sins, they shall be forgiven him.
They shall be forgiven him. The prayer, he calls this prayer specifically a prayer which is of faith. The prayer of faith will
save the sick.
The sick, inasmuch as the sick person, there is a person. But sickness can be applied in several other areas. Okay. It can be felt, it can be experienced. A lot of things around you can be sick. Therefore, when you do such a prayer which is of faith, when a prayer of faith is raised, it will serve the sick. Either the one sick is a person or it is a situation. Whether it is your marriage or it is your business, as long as we can diagnose the business and we find a disease, there is a kind of prayer that can salvage that business. There is a kind of prayer that can be done that will result in the saving of that business. Should that business be sick, you can still heal people, heal places, heal situations by the prayer of faith. Now, I'm saying this because you were praying, and you will keep on praying, and you will keep on improving in the way that you pray, and you keep getting better results. So when you pray, and the prayer is of faith, how do I know that the prayer that I did is of faith? I might not need necessarily to look at the prayer. I look at the sick. If I see that there is salvation, the condition is gone, having prayed, I have to revisit that kind of prayer. And I consider that prayer a prayer of faith. Because if it is of faith, it will serve the sick. It will restore even the dead. It will be easy for you, starting from diseases coming backwards. You would know the prayer that I did was the prayer of faith, because I have just served the sick. But notice, when you are praying a prayer of faith, most people think that you must be having faith whilst you are praying. But there is also, yes, that's true, but there is also the kind of prayer that was produced by faith, which is a product of faith. You are praying because you are of faith. You are praying because you have faith. And the prayer was actually it's a product of the virtue called faith. It's faith that founded that kind of prayer. And people of prayer, that's the prayer they pray. It's not another fabricated way of praying. It's a prayer already in existence that has emanated from what is known to be faith. Faith has produced a language, and that language is the prayer that you do. When you are praying the prayer of faith, that one will restore the sick. Either the sick is a person, or the sick is a what?
Situation, or yes, it is a business.
Yes. A prayer of faith can address that. And it goes further, that kind of prayer. What is God going to do?
And the Lord shall raise him up.
If the person could no longer walk, God will raise that person up. You having prayed a prayer which is of faith, God will raise that person up. So you pray that kind of prayer. Notice there is something so profound here. God will raise that individual up. God will raise that business up. God. God. Do you know that most of you people, you don't even know how to benefit from what God has already done? We are so focused on getting him to do something fresh, do something new in my life. And we sing songs. But there is something so profound that God himself said. God is in a conversation and he's talking to the devil. And he says to the devil, though you have tried, you have moved me so many times to destroy Job without a cause. Don't read all of it, just the last part.
Job 2 verse 3.
The last part.
And still he holded fast his integrity.
The last part.
Although thou movest me against him to
although you, the devil, you have moved me, God, devil, you have moved me, although you. You have what?
Although thou movest me against him.
Against him. To what?
To destroy him without cause.
The devil tried. And he knew exactly what he was doing. What I'm doing here is to move God. To destroy Job without a cause. I don't know how he was doing it, and yet God felt being moved. He's the mover of everything. Yet in this case, he felt a force from the devil, of the devil, moving him. I'm talking about your God, and I'm showing you what the devil has been doing with your God. He tries to move God. Because he's aware he can be moved. In this case, we are talking of a prayer of faith, and God will be moved to raise the sick. If you are to pray, God will raise the sick. What is it that God felt when the devil was moving him? What was the feeling like? Think about that for a moment. Such a mighty God, you can't put your feet, you can't touch him. Yet there was a force, there was an attempt by the devil to move God into bringing calamities unto Job. You tried. God is saying, I will not, though you have. Now, I'm saying this because imagine if the devil can try that. If the devil can try to move God, how about you? Hey. If he can go as far as wanting to influence God, manipulate God, move God into doing something against Job's life, destroy him with no reason. So if Job is ever going to suffer, he must investigate. What is the source? What is the source of my suffering? It is in prayer where you get to receive all of these revelations, how your problems started. It is during a prayer of faith. A prayer of faith is a proper diagnosis of your condition. A prayer of faith, you can't conduct a prayer of faith and you don't come out with results. You are told by the Spirit of God where your cases are coming from. So see something here, very important. See something here. See something here. A prayer of faith, if you are praying and your prayer is not of faith, it might give you the opposite of what you are asking for. I know people that have, I told you this before, that we tried to help a certain group of young people that were praying earnestly. And whilst they were praying, demons came and they were all taken over by evil spirits. And it started off as prophecies as they were trying to minister to each other, and they all went berserk. They were now moving all over the place, talking to everyone, and they were even causing traffic jam. If a person starts to prophesy, preach, declare things that are coming from God, and they can't even see where they are going. They are walking right in front of moving vehicles, all in the name of declaring the word of the Lord. You know something has taken off. And prayers had to be raised against their prayer. Prayers. We had to pray against a prayer that they had done. They had prayed and they tapped into a realm beyond their control, beyond their understanding. Because prayer, any form of prayer, will introduce you to a realm, whether it's a small realm or it's a bigger realm. It is prayer that ushers you into dimensions. But you'll be found, you'll be caught up sometimes in a dimension that you don't know how to come out of. Because you asked for things that you do not understand. Okay, for instance, do you remember that time, we talked about this before, Paul knows of a man who 14 years ago was caught up into what he calls a third heaven. And he says whether this was in the flesh or in the spirit, it's a question yet to be answered. But he goes on to explain the things that he had been said there.
2 Corinthians 12, verse 3. And I knew such a man, whether in body or out of the body,
yes.
I cannot tell.
Who knows?
God knoweth.
Yes.
How that he was caught up into paradise and heard unspeakable words, which it is not lawful for a man to utter.
Okay, you see that? He, whilst this man was there, this man, when he was caught up into a place that he's referring to as paradise, in another instance he calls it the third heaven, he's caught up, he's in a dimension where there are beings there in existence, and he tapped into their communication. I'm not sure whether what he heard he was being taught, or these beings there that belong, that are citizens of that dimension, were probably talking to each other. I'm not sure. Or maybe he was given a story to share. How is it there are things that are being said that cannot be said? There are things that are being said there that cannot be said here. It's unlawful for a man to utter, and yet they were uttering those things over there. And it's lawful. Here it becomes unlawful. You get arrested for saying those things. He's not saying, I'm not sure of what I heard. He's not saying, I've forgotten. He knows exactly what he heard. But he's looking at his dimension. He's saying, over here, you say such a statement, you've broken a law. There is a law here that forbids me from repeating the same words that I heard. So there is a law here that will restrict me. So whatever I'm going to teach you as Paul, I will stick to the law. There is a law that restrains me, that restricts me from telling you certain things. And that law is here. If you want us to talk about that communication, we have to ascend into that dimension and we can talk from there. And no laws are being broken. So if I can elevate you and bring you into paradise, our message, our gospel is going to change. This gospel that I preach, these letters that I write to you now, it is consistent with the human laws. I heard things which are unlawful for man to utter. So, I'm just talking about dimensions that when you pray, that's why I can identify people today that are in problems because of prayers that they did. You prayed a wrong prayer. You know what that prayer is today.
Thank you, Father.
It might actually be not a witch from the village, but a prayer, an honest prayer that you did, which was not of faith. A prayer of faith, if a prayer of faith can save from sickness, a prayer which is not of faith can cause a sickness. Hear me. I'm just giving you an example here of a team of girls that we had to pray, and we made sure the Holy Spirit had to reveal to us that it is because of a certain prayer. They joined certain words together. There is a combination of words that once you bring those ones together, you tap into a realm. It will call for another combination. To bring you back to sanity. You might think what I'm saying is untrue, but do you know why is it that even people who are deep-rooted in the demonic kingdom, they pray and they fast? You only can see the positive side of fasting, but there is the negative side, because fasting is not only happening here, it's also happening over there. For a demon to settle well in a physical body, they also require that you fast. There is not even one serious authentic witch doctor who doesn't fast. They had to fast. Some almost died at the beginning of their occupation, of their practice. They had to fast for days. That was not for their deliverance. It was for that spirit to settle. For the spirit to settle. So that the flesh and the spirit can now work together. The bond between the spirit and the body. Fasting had to be introduced. Why we pray so much, why we fast so much in Africa? And yet still, our situation keeps getting worse and worse and worse. We need to understand these two sides of the same coin, lest we fast the wrong way or we pray the wrong way. We attract the opposite. Things that we're trying to chase away can actually be attracted. We think what we are applying on our bodies is a repellent, yet it is a lure. Because you must get to a point in your life where you say, so when then is God going to answer my prayer? What? Because you can't remember living out certain, you have tried to say everything to get God to deliver you from your situation. It's almost as though the more you pray, the harder it gets. Is that how prayer was designed? Who would want to pray then, if that's the case? When I pray a prayer of faith, I have to look at the sick and I see him being raised by God. Then I know it was a prayer of what? Of faith. Some of those sick people are in that condition because of a prayer which is not of faith. Sit down. You might not believe this, but I can top it up. I can also give you something that you know. We have read it several times. When you don't know how to conduct yourselves during the Holy Communion, it's so clear in Scripture. That's why some of you are sick. Some are asleep, dead. Because they eat, they take the body unworthily. It's a wrong way of dealing with the body that can save you. The body, the blood that was meant to save you can cause you harm. Some of you are sick. It's a deep revelation in Scripture. Being told of people today that are here that are sick simply because of a Holy Communion.
To 1 Corinthians.
They were made sick by the blood and the body of Christ.
1 Corinthians 11, 27. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily.
So you need to understand how. Oh. So there is a how to the way you partake of the blood. There is a how to the way you consume his body. He wants to be eaten in a certain way. Jesus wants you to receive him in a certain way. If he is to be received any other way, he can cause harm. This is where religion can cause harm to Africa. This is where Christianity can be the reason why Africa is where it is today. We are consuming him the wrong way. Okay, keep on reading.
Whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the blood and the body of the Lord.
Yes.
Verse 26. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself.
Yes.
Not discerning the Lord's body.
Mm-hmm.
For this cause.
This cause. He's telling you the cause. Now, this is the cause of what?
Many are weak.
People are weak.
And sickly among you.
Where?
Among you.
This letter was not written to a club. Among you, this is the church. They are weak people, sickly people. Some are even dead.
And many sleep.
Uh-huh.
For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged.
So he has told you the reason why some are weak, some are sick, some are dead. Failure to discern the body and the blood. And you consume what you haven't fully discerned, and you get sick. These are the diseases that when we shout in the name of Jesus and we are casting out demons, this one would not respond. Because their cause is failure to discern the body and the blood. People can be sick simply by failing to discern the blood and the body of Christ. People can be weak. It weakens you. If you fail to tap into the revelation of the blood and the body, it makes you a weaker vessel. Failure to discern the blood and the body. So sometimes when you are praying, you pray for this level of discernment.
Thank you.
Help me discern the blood, what the blood has done.
Thank you.
What the body has done. Lest I ask, lest I beg God for what he has already given. That is going to weaken you. You come out of your prayer closet weak, weaker than before. Because of what you were doing in that closet. You said things that are unlawful. You've broken a law there.
That's powerful.
Okay. This is where, let me show you one area where you can invite God and the devil comes. Okay. You see, sometimes you wonder, does the devil really know his name? Because I'm calling for Jesus. And then he comes. The devil comes. Does this guy know his name? Now, there are moments when we ask. Okay. Let's say you are in trouble. You are in trouble. And you need God to help you come out of that trouble. What do you say? You are in trouble and you want God to help you come out of that trouble. And you are praying. What exactly are you supposed to say? Now, hear me. Okay, let me put it this way. There are prayers that we do that, according to the devil, when he hears you pray that prayer, when he is to hear you, he knows that you are in direct
contradiction with scripture, with the word of God. For instance, when you came here, it became a gathering. Let's say on Friday you were praying. I will always teach you these things after you have already made mistakes. And that's how you learn. Because you have to pray again. And you come back and I teach you again, and then you go back and you pray again. And then you compare, because you must have a wrong prayer and the right prayer so you know the difference. Yes. You will appreciate this one now, because you had the wrong one. Okay, so he's saying over there, it's a declared statement by the Lord. Hear me, child of God, hear this one. When we came here, it's easy for us to know that we have gathered, right? Okay. When we gather and we invite His presence, inviting a God that we know now that He is forever present, and we invite Him to come. I have done that myself. I have done so. I have invited God. Now, we cannot pray that kind of prayer unless we have faith He is not present. Now, which scripture have we violated? Remember, he said, if two or three of you. Now, the gathering starts at two. Usually, when you meet with your friend, it's just you don't call it a gathering. Yet, according to him, he's saying, if two people of your caliber, if two or three of you gather together in my name, I am there in their midst.
Matthew 18, verse 20.
Uh-huh.
For where two or three are gathered together in my name,
yes,
there am I
there
in
am
the
I.
midst of them.
Okay, now let's take that. It's just a scripture from our Maker, from our God, and we know Him to be true. He's not a man that He should lie. So He said this not by mistake. He is establishing a principle of presence. You people, if you are to meet, my presence is guaranteed. Now, yet when we meet, the first thing that we do, having met, is to ask for what was already guaranteed. The presence of God was guaranteed by our mere coming together. Already we know this one, we have gotten it. This is going to help you in case you are going to seek Him. You are going to invite Him, and something else which is not God is going to respond to that prayer. I'm trying to teach you something here. Now, please follow this. Please follow this. Sit down. I'm about to finish. Yeah. I'm repenting. Sit down. So, let's assume the devil knows every scripture in the Bible. And he knows that you were told that when you gather, your God is present, He is there. And then after you have met, you start asking for Him to come. Those are the
doorways, those are opportunities. In as much as the man that we're inviting is God, God come, Jesus come, Holy Spirit come. Now, he hears that. The guy who is listening to you is not the Holy Spirit. He's not Jesus. He's the devil. He's witnessing a violation of a principle that establishes the presence of God. These people, they were told once they have come together, he is there. But when he hears them pray and ask for the presence of a God who told them, that violation of a principle is what brings him into the picture where he was never invited. The more you try to chase him away, the more you are attracting him. These are instances where the devil comes while it was God that you were inviting. These are instances where you were fasting against demons and you got more demons. Let's look at Psalm 41 or Psalm 42, somewhere there. Let's see. 46. Let's look at Psalm 46. Be seated, please. Psalm 46. Verse 1.
And then we God continue. Is our refuge and strength.
Mm-hmm. King James, right?
King James.
Yeah.
God is our refuge and strength,
mm-hmm.
a very present help in trouble.
Let's read it together. One, two, go.
God is our refuge and strength,
mm-hmm.
a very present help in trouble.
Wait there. Now, God is our refuge. God is our refuge. He's our refuge. What's that? What's that? What is a refuge?
Shelter. From rain or storm or danger.
And if he is our, it's established. That's where we hide. That's where we are kept. And that's where we are. That's why when he says, when you gather in my name, he's not just saying, when you gather with my name. Gathering, the gathering is in the name, in within the refuge. When you gather, you are in his name. And when you've gathered in his name, you cannot invite that name. The name, you have been invited into the name. If a man be in Christ, you are already in there. That's why he's trying to help them understand, I'm in their midst. Now, if God is our refuge, he goes on to also say he is our what?
Strength.
Strength. So your strength, the other name for your strength is God. God is our strength. He is my refuge. He is my strength.
A very present help in trouble.
Absent.
Present.
Absent.
Present.
Absent.
Present.
Absent.
Present.
A very what?
Present.
Ah. Is there a very there?
Very.
Very. So that you see the concentration of the presence of God during trouble. A very. So when you are praying now, when you are in trouble, these are scriptures that you must never violate. Because we believe we are in trouble because he is not very present. And when you are in trouble and then you start to invite him, these are instances where now the devil comes. So that on top of one trouble, you now have another trouble. What is being said? We are casting doubt on what has already been established. So next time you are in trouble, the mistake that you are making is inviting him to come. Yet he is very what?
A very present help in trouble.
So what really is birthing such kind of a prayer? We don't believe God is present. Otherwise, if he was present, I wouldn't be having this trouble. So you end up having to invite him to come and rescue you from the situation. And when demons hear you inviting a God who is very present with you, these are opportunities for evil spirits to come. They attend, demons, they feast on wrong prayers, misdirected prayers. This is their diet. They feast on prayers that are amiss. So a signal is captured. Demons are being told there is someone who is praying right from the presence of God, inviting God's presence. So in order for us, for him to be satisfied, we must create a false presence. There must be something that needs to arrive in that room. Let's give them something. Sit down, please. Sit down. For instance, let's say you say to God, God, give me the power to get wealth. And you have it. And the devil knows that you had it already. He's now going to bring you something. He is now going to bring you something. How come this guy had the power? He is not aware and he's asking for it. Give him something. Then you start to wonder, how can this be the blessing of God? Okay, keep on reading the book of Psalms. He's our very present
help.
Where?
In trouble.
Not even outside. In trouble. The way it was structured is so smart. Whenever you find trouble, he's there. You are in the fire, in the furnace, he's there. There is always the fourth man. In trouble, in the fire. So what he has done so far in making sure that he's very present, he makes sure that you can list all of the troubles. No trouble will ever be allowed to trouble anyone. Unless God is very present in that trouble. I know. Some of you, the way that you're looking at me, you're saying, Prophet, I'll be a Muslim. No.
Prophet, you don't understand the trouble that I'm in.
Let's try to stick to the scripture. Because when these problems are happening, what the devil is trying to make you doubt is the very presence of God. Because it's a sign that you have been abandoned by God. And when he can get you to feel like that, he can cause you to pray now like that. It has to come first as a feeling that you have been abandoned. And then what comes is from the devil. That's exactly what killed Jesus. It was never the nails, never the spear. He said, "You have forsaken me. You have forsaken me."
Matthew 27.
And death arrived.
Matthew 27, 46.
Sit down.
Jesus cried with a loud voice.
Don't worry. Had Jesus said, "You are with me," until today, you would have been hanging on the cross, breathing. He knows exactly what he did, what he said, to make sure that he died. That's why he said, you cannot take my life from me. I have to lay it down myself. So he knows the code. He knows what to say. He knows what to say. Do you remember an old message that I once preached about the revelation of the wife of Job? How many of you can remember? Huh?
If only.
You said, I said what?
If only you could confess, you would die.
Yes. How many years ago now? Long time ago. The woman came to the husband and said, "Curse God and die." The man was sick enough. The man had lost everything. Yet the woman knew that it's not a disease that will kill you. It's a confession.
Job 2 verse 9. Then his wife said unto him, "Dost thou still retain thine integrity? Curse God and die."
And live.
And die.
Sit down. So what she's saying is, you are going to be sick forever. You grow old being sick. No disease will ever kill you.
Yeah. Thank you, Baba.
That's what she's saying.
Thank you.
No asthma will ever take you. No high blood pressure will ever. No cancer will take your life. That's what she said. What kills you, what empowers cancer, is a confession. Curse God, and a disease will capitalize on that confession. It's not your problem that will kill you. It is what you confess during problems. Curse God and die. If she knew that diseases were going to kill the husband, she was just supposed to wait. But she knows deeper truths. Confess negative, and then death is coming. That's exactly what Jesus did. "You have forsaken me," and death comes. Sit down, please. Sit down. In times of trouble, be careful of the prayers that you pray whilst you are in trouble. Be careful. There is a truth to the scripture that says, "Let the sick say, let the weak say." It's not just a positive confession. No, this is what empowers you against weakness. It empowers you against weakness. "Let the weak say, I am strong."
Job 3 verse 10.
Okay, so now I'm showing you something here, because we are asking for God to come. I'm in trouble. And we are inviting a very present God. In time of trouble, or even in that trouble, God is very present. And then when we invite a God who is already present, brace for something else that is coming. Are you following this?
Yes, ma'am.
Keep on reading.
Verse 2.
Uh-huh.
Therefore, will not we fear though the earth be moved?
Now, I will not fear moved or removed.
Removed. I apologize.
Yeah. Hear that. See, there is something so profound. He's saying, I will not fear. He's taking the worst case scenario, all the little problems that you think you have. Yes. Now, there is this bigger one now where the earth is about to be removed.
Removed.
He's showing you the biggest problem where now the earth is to be removed. He's saying, I'm not going to be afraid. Because he has already considered God a refuge and a strength. To an extent where even if they are to package the earth and take it away. Now, this is bigger than losing a brother, losing a sister, losing your father, losing your children in an accident. This is the entire earth now being removed. Then he starts lightening up the situation. Now he says, even if the mountains are to be put into the sea,
and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea,
yes,
though the waters thereof roar,
they
and
will
be
roar,
troubled,
and they will be shaken, yeah?
Though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof, Selah,
mm-hmm.
There is a river.
There is a river. Whilst all that is happening, he's about to describe a river that has multiple streams that flows in the city of God, which is the church, which brings gladness. Yeah. Are you following this? In the midst of all that, when you are going through tribulations, remember, it's time to declare there is a river.
There is a river,
uh-huh.
The streams whereof shall make glad the city of God.
You know the city of God, right?
Yes.
That's the church. Read it again.
There is a river, the streams whereof shall make glad the city of God.
Mm-hmm.
The holy place of the tabernacles of the Most High.
Yeah.
God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved.
God is in the midst. Presence. Presence. God is in the midst of her. And she, the church, shall not be what?
Be moved.
Whilst mountains are movable. Hills are being relocated. But she, because God is in the midst of her, she will not be moved. Why? Because God is forever present. But look at the river. Read the river again.
There is a river,
uh-huh.
The streams whereof shall make glad the city of God.
The river, the river is a major river, but it has multiple tributaries, multiple streams. When you tap into any of those streams and you are connected to a stream that is connected to the major river. Because we know him to be the source, the fountain of life. But if I'm to come here and I'm distributing water, I become a stream. Once I'm connected to you and we are sharing in terms of light, There is joy that gets transferred.
The streams whereof shall make glad the city of God.
The city of God is made glad by the streams. You become glad in the midst of chaos. Sit down. Sit down. Sit down. Sit down. Right now, look at your face. Some of you are smiling, you are excited, and yet you are in a deeper problem than somebody who is frowning right now. You are in a deeper mess. You don't even know where to start from. You have no clue. Yet someone with clue is more terrified. What has made you strong? The presence. His presence. His presence. I always say this. This is a kind of this is the kind of life that we should be able to live. You know tomorrow they are hanging you. And Peter goes to sleep. They are sleeping. Even Paul and Silas, they knew what was going to become of them. They go to bed. They are sleeping. They are aware, in as much as we are in a prison, we are in a refuge. What am I teaching you today? I'm just showing you the things that we do, things that we say in trying to chase away the devil. He's coming to us even faster. We are supplying him with fuel. He comes faster. He arrives early. So you're asked, that's why the question I was asking you, if you are in trouble, what do you say? You can ask your neighbor now. So, if you are rich and then you ask God for riches, what comes? If you are in the presence of God and you invite God. So, Prophet, what are we supposed to say then? Imagine coming together in prayer and you start off thanking God for being present because we have gathered. When you are in fire, you tell him, it's not just the fire that I can feel. I feel you. I feel you in this. It's an acknowledgement of the very presence of God in your situation. Something tells me you are here. Yes, yea, though I walk through the valley. I know it's a valley. I would rather not call it of death, but it's a shadow. I don't want to confirm death has come. It's a shadow. I'm dealing with a shadow of cancer. It's a shadow of poverty. It's not the actual thing. I'll treat it as a shadow. I will fear
no
evil. The reason being,
for thou art with me.
You are present. Sit down. Sit down. Unfortunately, pain will not allow you to remember what I'm preaching today. Pain. Pain. Pain will get you to say something else. You begin to doubt the presence of God. You begin to doubt the ability of God to save you, the credibility of God even in promising you that I'm always with you. He promised. But we are used to that kind of prayer because it has now become part of our religion, not relationship with God, religion. We have too many things to say in prayer because we are wrong. The moment we try and address some of these issues and eliminate certain things, we are left with a very short and yet powerful prayer. Very short, brief. You just lift up the basket and you don't complain the bread is few, the fishes are little. No, you raise and you give thanks. He blessed.
Yes.
Wow. Ah. Your prayers are long because you are describing the number of bread. You now know what to say because of one car. You now know what to say even because of a tire. You started off with a spare tire. You don't even have a car, a spare tire. You have a house that has a garage, no car inside. Knowing what to say, because that's a symbol. Because God says, extend your tents, enlarge your territories, because I will fill you up. I will enlarge you. You walk in your house and you see emptiness. This is a sign that God is yet to finish with you. You might call that lack, but you rather call it a shadow of lack. It's a reflection. When a shadow of a thing touches you, the thing is away. It's away. It's away. So this man knew how to overcome the shadow, the valley. He said, what I'm doing is I'm walking through. I'm not walking into the valley. I'm walking through. So he keeps reminding himself, I'm walking through. It's a phase. What I'm going through, I'm walking through. when you pray and you say, lead us not into temptation, he's not saying you will not go through temptations, but into, where you enter into temptation and you get swallowed and you die there. No, he will not lead you into temptation. So what are we saying then when we are praying? Thy kingdom come. Isn't there such a place in the Bible? Yes, there is such a place for such a prayer in the Bible. Thy kingdom come. But understand, thy kingdom come should come. When the kingdom has come, the prayer changes. Jesus had not yet gone to the cross.
Yes.
Those of us asking and praying for the kingdom to come, we must also believe that if we are to invite the kingdom will come. And it's not wrong to invite the kingdom. It's wrong when the kingdom has come. When the kingdom is at hand, and you keep asking for the kingdom to come, you are inviting another kingdom. The devil hears that, he brings another kingdom of darkness. You get your house, you must look at every direction and be aware. It's not the devil, it's not demons in every corner, it's the Holy Ghost everywhere. My house is full of the Holy Ghost.
Yes.
My life is full of the Holy Ghost.
Yes.
So these confessions are going to help you come out of those situations, because you know you are in there not by yourself. You are not alone. You are in your refuge. You are in God. You are a new creature.
Amen.
In God. It's what you say when things are wrong. When things are going wrong. I remember some few days ago, we were talking about one of the sermons that I preached, and Pastor Lawrence Gunda was reminding me. He said, I've got your video. I was talking about the message, Operation Garikai, that I preached some years back. And he told me he had a video. I needed to watch it again, that video. And I was preaching Operation Garikai. You should see what I was wearing. You should see the microphone I was holding.
It's just boldness.
At
that time, I wasn't taking it easy like I'm doing now. It was full throttle. If you check that video, people were standing and then they came to the pulpit and I was preaching from their midst. Surrounded by vagabonds. And they were believing that peace would come. That prosperity would come.
It's not just a confession. No. The Bible talks about speaking those things that are not as though they were. Akomanaka.
Guys.
Ah. My revelations aya ano pidigura nyika yako yese.
These revelations will turn your whole world upside down.
To think that there are things that are not. Huh? You it's a gay.
Look for that one.
It's a gay.
You have to look for that one.
Romans 4, verse 17. As it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations.
Mm.
Before him whom he believed, even before God.
Him whom he
believed.
Uh-huh.
Even God who quickeneth the dead.
The dead. He quickens the?
The dead.
God does what?
Quickens the dead.
God can quicken the dead.
Yes. Yeah.
You are standing before a God that you believe in, and that God has the power to quicken the dead. You must know that God whilst you are alive. You must know such a God even when you are dead. During your death, you still have a God to quicken you. There is a God that can quicken you from the dead. Then you are left with nothing else to fear. If I can die today, I can be quickened. How many times have you died, some of you here? Several times. You are here because he has what? Quickened you. Uh-huh.
And calleth those things which be not as though they were.
Calling what?
Those things.
There is a those. Things, they are things, yet they are not. Those things, you can point at them and you know they are things, yet they are not. And those things can be called, calling those things that are not as though they were. Things still in the class of not, simply because you haven't called them. Things today that are not, because you have not called them. Your success today is not because you have not. Your marriage today is a not because you have not. Yet these things can be called. Calling. 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 Some of us, we are in ministry today because we were called out of our different professions. He called me out and I came. If such a man is to call a man, if God says to his disciples, follow me and I will make you, and they left everything, such kind of power, that same ability, you listen, you obey a call, you are imparted with the same ability to also call things that are not as though they were. These disciples were once not disciples. And somebody called those things that are not as though they were. I was called and I came. And I've received that same grace, that same impartation to also call things that are not as though they were. Abraham at the time was not even a father. The man was just a husband.
And yet you look into their discussion. The people in attendance in that meeting, there was a father of many.
I have made thee a father of many nations. Before whom he believed.
Before whom he believed. When you find yourself standing in the midst of Jehovah, believe what he tells you. Believe. Believe. Child of God, go ahead, dream big, think big, and start small. Dream big, think big, and start small. You will be amazed at what you are eventually going to become. Do not despise the days of what? Humble beginnings or small beginnings. You have the, look at you. You, God gave you you as an example. Oh, yeah. Look at your body today. Yeah. Yeah. Look at your body years back. There was a time you had no hair. There was a time you had no bones. There was a time you were in liquid form. You could not even stand. Humble beginnings. Look at you today. God gave you you. Just for you to see, no matter how little the business is. Dream big, think big, and start small. You know where you're going. You start off selling things that you don't want to be, you have no interest, you have no. You know where you're going. Today they know you for a business that you are not even, you were not even made to do. It's not that you haven't yet arrived. I'm going somewhere. I'm going somewhere. Don't let these problems that you are going through today, don't let them formulate a prayer. Don't let the devil contribute into your prayer list, prayer requests. Don't make him teach you how to pray. Don't make the devil, don't let him teach you
how to pray. Thank you. Thank you
to pray. What you are going through today, remember the key word, through. It's through. Very soon, this would be a part of your history. This.
This isn't the first thing. There are things that have come before.
It's not
just people that have dismissed you. You yourself have looked at yourself and said there's no more hope.
Today, you are here. You are standing. Nothing shall ever separate us from the love of God. Neither death nor life, nor powers nor principalities, nor day nor night, nor things present nor things to come. There is no more separation, so never should you at any time doubt the love of God again. nothing. When you pray, thank him for the love. When you pray, thank him for the very presence of God. When you pray, when you feel like you need him to deliver you, thank him for the deliverance. You want to ask him for the Holy Spirit, rather thank him for giving the Holy Ghost. I thank you for the Holy Spirit. You want wisdom, you want knowledge from the Holy Spirit, instead of asking for it. Thank the Holy Spirit for making you wiser than your enemies. I thank you, Holy Spirit, today, because you are giving me wisdom to address this situation. You are giving me wisdom. So your prayer life becomes a prayer of gratitude. Thankfulness. I'm aware to the gifts that God has given me. I will not get the devil to get me to ask for what I know I already have. I will open my mouth and I will thank God for the power to get wealth that he has given to me. I have that power working in me now.
Msandudze kuti mara ibude pakadaro ipapo inonobuda.
Don't tell me that money. Msandudze kuti zvine
nharo indikaendapo. I have the power. You know it, you have the power. Tell them I am coming. Kandika uya inini mari inodi zvayo inobuda. I have the power to get the wealth. So have that confidence.
Don't walk with your hands dragging behind you like a gorilla. Raise your chest. Lift your chin up. Open your eyes. With your mouth speaking things. Big things, great things.
They will try to shut you down. No, you are too ambitious. You are unrealistic. We call those things that are not as though they were. Put your hands together for the Lord. Ah, you can do better than that. Of God, this is liberating. You are no longer sin conscious. You are no longer demon conscious. You are no longer devil conscious. You are God conscious. You are aware of the presence of God in your life. I will not die. I shall live and declare the works of the Lord. If you know God has been a blessing to you, you want to sow your seed, bring out your seed. Let me say a word of prayer. Bring out your seed that you bring to the altar. Your seed that you bring to the altar. Your seed that you bring to the altar. Your seed, bring it out, bring it out, bring it out, bring it out. You want to thank God for what he has done. Money will follow you. Cash will follow you. Finances will follow you. Abundance will follow you. Properties will follow you. Assets will follow you. Promotions will follow you. I've declared over your seed today, you shall become many. You shall be increased. Increase has come. Increase has come. Multiplication has come. As you are giving to God, I want you to give whilst you are thanking Him for blessing you. Thank Him for the abundance. You have been multiplied. You have been increased. Now, choir, I want you to give us a song whilst you are singing. We are at the same time thanking God for increasing us. Those of you that are not feeling well, it's no longer health that you are asking Him for. It's health that you are thanking Him for. Thank Him for healing you now, wherever you are. Child of God, thank Him because the pain is gone. Thank Him because the complication is removed. Wherever you are, lift your voice and begin to thank Him for the success. Thank Him for the new job. Yes. Thank Him for the new business that you are starting.
Yes.
Thank Him now. Wherever yes, you are, Lord. Lift yes, your Lord. Voice and begin to thank Him.
Yes, Lord.
Thank Him. Thank you.
I just want to thank you.
I just